Thank you. All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So our daf today is daf Mem Ches. We're actually going to start from the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So as my wonderful Chavir have thanked me profusely for the handouts that I've given you today. So this will hopefully make it a little bit easier. I will explain exactly what we're looking at. These are not scenes from E.T. or anything. So maybe I'll show you what it is. It actually will make things a little bit easier as we go forward. So let's take a look. Mem Zayin Amud Beis. We left off Amarav Papa. So it's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says the following: Amarav Papa. Rav Papa says, "Pshita li melei kumso kidekamsi inshi." So now, Bosai, remember we spoke about two different things in yesterday's daf. We spoke about the concept of kamitza and the concept of chafina. So kamitza, remember, is a din by. Is it din by Karban Mincha, where the Kohen is going ahead? Remember, we spoke about again. We're going to try to use the big fingered Kohanim for the Kamitza in order that nothing gets stuck in between the fingers. So that's being done with the three fingers. And Chafina, which is the handful, the two handfuls of Ketores on Yom Kippur. So the Rav Papa comes along and says, Pshitali, it's simple to me that when we speak about a Kometz, that the way the Kohen takes the Kometz is Kidekamsi Inchi. As people go ahead and normally take a kamitza, so Rashi says over kidekamsi inshi, tzido shel etzba'osav lamala. Literally, the sides of the fingers are extended upwards. Now, I will say, if you take a look on the hand that I just gave you, so if you look on the first page, you'll see a picture 94. So this is the way Rav Papa understands simple kamitza to be occurring, that the Kohen goes ahead and essentially inserts his hand sideways into this, remember, this that white stuff over there, that's supposed to be flour. Again, it looks, just so you should know, it looks much better in, I'm not going to, I don't have to justify myself to anyone over here, but I just want to show you, right? Look at that. Oh, yes. You're not cooking people over here. That's not the... All right, I'm not even going to respond to this anymore. Okay, so now, Papa says, so well, again, just see orange stuff. That hand, it looks like I'm not, it looks like a severed limb over there. I do understand now what you're saying. So that hand is actually attached to a coin. So now, that bowl of white, that's soles, that's fine flour. So Papa's saying that the simple way that you do kamitza, and Kohanim listens because you have to know these things, is he would go ahead and insert his hand sideways like that, and come up like that, and then pull out three fingers worth of a flower, and raise his hand out like that. So Rav Papa says, that's what I see to be the simple way of doing kamitza. However, the Gemara says, "Boy, Rav Papa then asks, Kamatz beroshe etzbaosav mahu. What happens if you did kamitza with the tops of your fingers? Now, what does that mean? Take a look at picture 95. Right, so here you have, this is Rashi Etzbosav, and here on the sheet actually itself is quotes Rashi. Let's look at Rashi on the page as opposed to Rashi in the Gemara. So on the handout, right by picture 95, Rashi, Pas yado lemata, v'tachav Etzbosav b'soles, v'kamatz komets sholim ad shemila kol orech pas yado. So I will say, in this case over here, what Papa is asking is, instead of sliding my hand in sidewards, what if I were to put my hand on top of the flower and essentially grab a kamitza? I'm grabbing a kamitza. So would that work? Or, next case, milamata lemala mahu. Now, Rabosai, milamata lemala, if you look at picture 96, so this is milamata lemala, and look at Rashi, right by picture 96, Rashi, shahapach gav yado lemata, I put the back of my hand down, v'he'ela ha'komets baroshe etzba'osav l'sok pas yadav. So Rabosai, instead of the previous case of grabbing the komets like this, I'm grabbing the komets like this, right? So my hand is open, I go ahead and essentially dip it into the flour like that and grab it like that. Next case, minat studin mahu. We'll say turn to page 2. This is minat studin. Minat studin is a case of where I go ahead and essentially I put my open hand into the flour and I allow the fine flour to kind of trickle, to seep into my hand. And once it seeps into my hands, I close my three fingers, I close my komets fingers over that. So what's the halacha in all of these cases, Rav Osai? If I did commit, so again, remember, just looking back, so what, according to Rav Papa, the simple way that a Kohen did kamitza was inserting the hand sideways and grabbing the kamitza like that. The shaila now is in all these other cases, grabbing from on top, grabbing from below, allowing the flour to trickle into my hand. What happens if you did a kmitza in all of these situations? So the Gemara says, teku. So we're not sure if it's valid or not. So I will say, in general, in these kind of cases, when you see a teku, the way we would deal, now, what happens if a kohen did that? Teku is very nice in the Gemara. What happens if a kohen did that on the base of Mikdash? So in general, when you see a teku in these kinds of circumstances, what we would normally say is, if it had not yet been offered up on the Mizbeach, we would tell the kohen to do another kmitza. Tell him to do it again. But if it had already been offered up on the Mizbeach, we would not make him do another kmitza. Amar Papa. Pshit, now that we had that discussion by Ketores, we're now going to have the discussion by Chafina. So again, so now we're going to draw your attention to picture number 98. So Gemara says, Amar Papa pshitali melochofnav kidichafni inshi. It's logical to me that Malo Chafnav, Rabbi said, which means, again, the handful of Ketores, the Kohen Gadol taking on Yom Kippur, is the way that people would normally take a handful. That's picture 98. How would a person normally take a handful? He calls it the Rashi Chudosh Apas Yad Lemata. That a person would literally, just like Kamitza, you come into the fine flour with your hands sideways, so too with Chafina. You'd come in with both of your hands sideways and scoop up a handful. However, what happens if you did it with your fingertips? That's picture 99, where again you see the individual is, so to speak, grabbing the Ketores instead of scooping it up. Or milamata lamala, this is picture 100. Milamata lamala, he's inserting his hands open and grabbing it like that. Or minatsad mahu, or what happens if we'll say minatsad is picture 101. That's again where the person, the Kohen, is putting his hands into the Ketores, allowing the Ketores to fill his hands and then closing his hands like that. So what's the halacha? Or chafan bezu'u bezu v'kirban zu etzel zumahu. Or we'll say, what happens in Abosai, the common denominators in the previous cases, you're taking out the Ketores together. What happens if you go ahead and you take a handful of Ketores in one hand, a handful of Ketores in another hand, and then combine that together into a joint handful? So what's the halacha in all of these cases? Again, teku. And I will say once again, so the teku means that lechatchila, we know how we want the Kohen Gadol to do the chafina. We want him to do two hands coming in the side, joining together and taking out a handful of Ketores. But if he didn't any of these other ways, the Maisa, if he had not yet offered it, we'd say do it again. But if he had already offered it, we would say it was valid. So Gemara goes weiter. Boi Rav Papa. That's it for the pictures, we will say. But there are still other stuff in the sheet, so just hold on to it. We're going to be looking at some Rambams in a little bit. Boi Rav Papa. Rav Papa said the following, Dafke lekomet bedufnei demana mai. Well, it's another interesting case. Now, going back to Kavah Mincha. So let's say you take the komets of the Mincha, and literally you stick it in the dofen of the kli. Now, also remember, when you go ahead and the Kohen takes a kamitza, takes that three fingerfuls of fine flour, the next step is to put it into a kli sharis. So kli sharis is a service vessel. And that service vessel sanctifies the komets. So we'll say, let's send out, there are two ways of understanding this case. I take the solas, I take the fine flour, and instead of just placing it in the kli, I stick it to the kli. But I will say, that could happen in one of two ways. Either it literally means that I'm going, well, actually, let's keep it simple. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Dafke le komets to dofnei demone, kaim lama mesechus minochos, sha komets ta'on maton kli. You have to take the komets and put it into your utensil. The komets mitoch kli zeh, the komets to kli zeh, mekachel esoch kli acher, ve'imlo nasnu b'shula v'nasnu b'dofne v'daf komal. So Rabbi, listen to this. So normally we would say, where are you placing the komets? You're placing it inside the kli itself. Let's say you don't place it in the kli itself, but you stick it to the side of the kli. So is that called a proper placement in a kli sharis or not? So the Gemara says, my toch kli ba'inon v'ha'iko. We could say on one hand, if the halacha is that I require placement in a kli sharis, at the end of the day, is this in a kli sharis? The answer is yes. O dilma hanacha b'socho hanacha b'socho kitikno ba'inon v'ha'leka. Or maybe on the other hand, what we really require is what? Is placement actually on the bottom of the kli. Maybe that's what it means. So Rose says that's a fundamental, so it's a question. We know like this, the komets has to be placed in a kli sharis. The shaila is, what does placement in a kli sharis mean? Does placement in a kli sharis just mean that it's housed in the kli sharis? In which case, it doesn't matter if it's sitting on the bottom of the kli or if it's stuck to the side of the kli. Or though maybe no, maybe what placement in a kli sharis means is actual placement on the bottom of the kli. To which the Gemara says, teku. Teku. The question stands. Boi Mar Baravashi. Mar Baravashi asked the following kasha. Afche lemana vidavka. Well, say I'll just show you something interesting. Look at page four in your handout over here. Look at page four. So I'm going to give you just a little halacha as we go along. So the Rambam in Hilchos Psulei Hamukdashim. This is Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Chaf Hey writes. Hidvik hakomet lidofen hakli. Actually, no, not yet. We're not going to do this yet. One more line. Boy, just keep it out. Boy, Mar Baravashi. Mar Baravashi has another kasha. Afchei lemana vidafke lekomet ba'ar isei demana. So it's another very interesting case. Rav Ashi asked the following. Let's say you took the kli sharis, you turned it upside down, and then you stuck the komet to the ground of the kli. Mostly, there are two ways to understand this case. It could either mean quite literally, you take a kli sharis, you turn it upside down, and you stick the komet on the bottom of the kli. Right? But the bottom of the kli now, of course, is facing downwards. The other possibility is that you could be talking about a kli, if you can imagine, like a kiddush cup. So like you have a kiddush cup with a base. So you know, if you turn that kiddush cup over, the base is hollow, and you could put something in the base. So the way that the Mefarshim understand this case is in one of two ways. Either I'm literally turning the kli sharis over, but I'm sticking the komet onto the inside of the kli. So the komet essentially is hanging down, stuck to the kli, but it's hanging down. Or second possibility is I turn the kli sharis over and I place the komet into the hollow base of the kli sharis. So what is the halacha in such a situation? Mahu hanocha b'socho ba'inal v'ha'ika. Well, on one hand, you could say maybe what we require is placement of the komet into the kli sharis. And the truth is that has been accomplished. The komets is in the klisharis. O Dilma, or perhaps the other possibility is Hanocha Kitikno Ba'inan Veleka. Or the other possibility is what I will say that no, we don't just require placement into a klisharis, we require normal placement into a klisharis. And what does normal placement into a klisharis mean? It means the kli is right side up, and the komets is sitting on the bottom of the kli. Teku. So also again, the Gemara says, Eliyahu Navi is going to have to answer this one. Now, take a look at page 4 in the handout that I gave you. So this is the Rambam. So I'm giving you a couple of Rambams today. I didn't know if I could fit them all on one page, so I put them each other. So the Rambam wrote the following. The Rambam says, this is in Hilchos Psuli HaMukdashin, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Chaf Hei. The Rambam writes, Hidvik HaKomets LeDofen HaKli VeKamatz. What happens? If the coin went ahead and took the Kamitza, and he stuck it to the wall of the kli sharis. So this was the first case that we had on Amud Aleph over here. Osha hafach hakli al yado v'kamatz mitocho upiv lamato. Or the Rambam understands, I will say the inverted kli sharis case is I take the komets and I stick it. I turn the kli sharis upside down and I stick the komets to the bottom of the kli. In all of these cases, I will say these are our first two cases that we just read. In both these cases, lo yachir l'chatchila. You should not offer this komets. Why the chatchila should you not offer this komets? Because the chatchila, we would like the coin to go ahead and do the avoda in the normative way. And the normative way means not to stick the komets on the side of the kli, to place it on the base of the kli, not to use an inverted kli sharis, but to use a right side up kli sharis. That's what we want. So the chatchila, don't do it. Vim hiktir, but if you didn't already, hurtza also means what? It's accepted. So the ma'aseh in the chatchila, if you deviated from the norm, don't use that comments. But if you already offered it, you don't have to go back. Okay, so I'm just pointing out again. So that's whenever you see teiku in these type of sugyas, that's usually what it means. L'chatchila, don't do the avoda with this type of aberration. But if you did it, it works. So the Gemara goes weiter. Bari Rapapa. Milo Chafnav, was another interesting case. Milo Chafnav, again, remember, is talking about what? It's talking about the Kitores. So Milo Chafnav Sha'amru. When we speak about the Malochafnav, mechukos o gedushos. Well, it's very interesting. When you draw out the handful of kitores, do we want the handful to be mechukos means leveled, or gedushos means heaping? Well, say, you know, when you take a handful of something, there are two ways you could take it. So you could take it as a level handful, or you could take it as a heaping handful. So how much kitores is the Kohen Gadol supposed to take on Yom Kippur? Amrle Rabbi Abba, Ravashi. So Rabbi Abba said to Ravashi the following idea. Tashma, so he quotes a braisa, Malo Chafnav Sha'amru. When we speak about the fact that the Kohen Gadol is supposed to take a handful of kitores, lo mechukos, velo gidushos, ela tefufos. So we'll say, interestingly enough, we don't want him to take a leveled handful. We don't want him to take a heaping handful. Rather, tefufos. Tefufos means rounded.
rounded.
Look at Rashi, tefufos, loshon davar tsaf begova ma'at. The loshon of tefufos means something, tsaf begova ma'at means has a little bit of an elevation in height. Kimol da'al da'atfas atfucha. Speaks about, again, actually, this is about the Mishnah, Maseches Avos, where one of the sages saw a skull floating in the water. Mm-hmm. So that losha atfucha, so it was bobbing in the water a little bit above the water level. So therefore, again, halach lamaisa, the Ketores shouldn't be heaping, it shouldn't be leveled, it should be rounded. Okay, Tanan Hassam, we learned over there. Nishpa, also another very interesting, these are a lot of very interesting cases today. Nishpa hadam al haritzpa va'asfo pasal. So also we're talking now about, look at Rashi, nishpa hadam al haritzpa, Valonis Kabbalah. Let's say again, simple case. Kohen is shechting his par on Yom Kippur, just to keep it Yom Kippur oriented, although this is not a Yom Kippur centric case. Kohen is shechting his par, and what happens? Remember, there is an avodah called Kabbalah. Kabbalah means you have to receive the blood in a kli. Let's say again, you don't, it's the blood doesn't go into the kli, right? The blood spurts onto the ground. But you quickly collect up the blood off the ground, and you put it into a kli. So the halacha is nishpach adam al haritzpa. If the blood spurted from the animal onto the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, va'asfu, but you were able to collect it and put it into a kli, pasul, the blood is no good, right? Meaning that you can't perform a valid blood service with this karban. I must remember, we've already seen before, the most important part of a karban is the dam, is the blood service. However, minakli al haritzpa va'asfu kosher. But interestingly enough, if you got the blood into the kli, but then the kli spilled, but you're able to collect up the blood from the floor and put it back into the kli, then the blood is still kosher for sacrificial purposes. So how do we know this? The Tanur Rabbanan, because we learned in a braisa, velokach midam hapar. The Torah says, you shall take from the blood of the par. Midam han, so we darshan from this, midam hanefesh velo midam ha'or. What does it mean, dam hapar? So first of all, the Gemara darshins, number one, first of all, look at Rashi just a moment. Minahani mili diba inan shir mitzavra behemalakli. How do we know that for blood service to be appropriate, the blood must come right from the neck of the animal into a klishar? He says, Gemara darshins, it says, milokach midam hapar. You have to take from the blood of the par. So Gemara darshins, why does the Torah go out of its way to say, midam hapar, midam hanevesh, velo midam haor? So first of all, it has to be lifeblood. Lifeblood. I also remember the ikar blood is the blood that spurts out immediately when the animal is shechted. There's a rush. If you ever seen a shechita, there's a whole rush of blood that comes out at that beginning, and then blood trickles out afterwards. We'll see. There's a difference. That blood that comes out mamish at the beginning, that just like shoots out like a strong stream. So that's called dam shechita versus dam tzamtamtzis. Dam tamtzis is remnant blood, which we'll see in just a moment. So when it says dam apar means dam anefesh, we call that dam anefesh, the life blood. Velomi dam aor, and not blood that comes out from the flesh. Velomi dam tamtzis, and not what we call remnant blood. Mi dam apar. What else does it mean? Mi dam apar. Dam mehapar. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the way we dash in that phrase, dam hapar, mi dam hapar, is dam me hapar yikablena. We dash in what? That it has to be blood that comes from the cow, as opposed to what? Blood that comes off the floor. Right? So meaning that the blood must be received in the klisharis directly from the cow itself. Di isaka daitcha mi dam hapar, mi dam, afilo miktas dam. Because maybe you would think that midam hapar means what? From any blood, even from part of the blood. So the Gemara says, "V'ha Amar Rav Yehuda hamekabel sarach sheyikabel es kol damo shalpar." The one who receives the blood, the coin who's receiving the blood. Remember also, Kabbalah is one of the avodas, one of the services, the blood services. So the one who receives the blood has to receive what we call all of the dam anefesh. You have to make sure that you get all of the blood from that original jet. That original spurting of blood. Shne'emar ve'es kol dam hapar yishboch al yisol dam mizbeach. Because the pasuk says you have to take all of the blood of the par. I will say obviously all of the blood can't literally mean all of the blood, because you're not going to get all the blood of the par, but rather it means all of the dam of the nefesh. So the Gemara says elish shmamina maimi dam hapar. So what does the phrase mean? Mi dam hapar dam mehapar yikablen. I will say, so interestingly enough, what the Gemara is dashing over here is this phrase of midam hapar the way that the Gemara is darshaning it, so midah par literally means from the blood of the cow, which the Gemara understands, number one, to mean that you have to get all of the dam hanefesh in order to pour into the mizbeach. And number two, what the Gemara also darshans from is midah par. We could also change around the letters to mean dam mehapar. Midam hapar comes, we take that mem, dam mehapar. The blood must come from the par itself, meaning that if the blood, meaning it must come from the par into the klisharis, and therefore if the dam went from the par to the floor, even if you're able to collect it back up into the klisharis, the blood service is invalid. So what it just says, just interestingly enough, the kasavar, this particular Tana says, the kasavar, gorin umosifin vidarshin. Both say this Tana holds literally that we could subtract, we can add, and we can dash. And I will say this apparently is a very interesting exegetical principle as well. If you'll notice, what is this whole drasha based on? The pasuk says midam hapar. So what did this Tana do? This Tana holds that in phrases you could go ahead and you could subtract letters here and add letters there. Because what did the Tana do? The Tana just took a mem from midam, and where did he put it? Right in front of hapar. So if what went from midam hapar also now is dashing to say dam mehapar, which is an interesting concept. So again, so what he's just again, and we'll see what this concept comes from. But ultimately that's the Tana is doing dam mehapar, midam hapar comes dam mehapar, and therefore the Maisa teaches us the halacha that the blood must go right from the par into the klisharis. Okay, so the Mar goes weiter. By Rapapa, Nispazer Hakitoris Mimalochov Nav Mahu. Plus another interesting case. So what happens, if you can imagine, what happens if the Kohen Gadol is holding the handful of Kitoris and there's a strong wind? And what happens? He drops the Kitoris scatters out of his hands. So now the Shaila is, Mahu, what's the Halacha? What is the Halacha? So the Gemara says, on one hand, you could say the following. On one hand, yodo kitzavar behem adami upsula. So maybe you'll say like this. Maybe you'll say, because you must remember the process. They bring out a shovel full of kitores from the Abatina's chamber. Okay? The Kohen Gadol then goes ahead and takes a handful of kitores. And what does he do with it afterwards? He puts it into the ladle. Right? He puts it into the calf. Now Shaila is, let's say after he removed the handful from the shovel, now let's say he dropped the kitores. So the Shaila now is the Ketores valid or not? So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. Mahu, yodo kitzavar behema, maybe the hand of the Kohen is like what? Is like the neck of the animal. And therefore what? Upsula. And I will say again, just like if the blood comes from the neck to the floor, even if you recollect it and put it into the kli, it's not good. So maybe same thing. The hands of the Kohen are like the neck of the animal. And therefore, again, if the Ketores falls on the floor, even if you recollect it afterwards and put it back into the ladle, it's not going to be good. Oh, Dilma, the other possibility is, Yodo, oh, Dilma, kikli shari stami v'lo psula. Or maybe on the other hand, what? Or maybe on the other hand, the hands of the coin are more like what, Rabosai? Are like a kli sharis. Maybe the hands of the coin are like the case of where the blood went from the par into the Klisha, right? Spilled on the floor, but it's okay because they've already been sanctified. In that case, you could collect it back up and put it back in the kli. So maybe the hands of the Kohen are like a klisharis, and therefore if it falls on the floor, all you need to do is what? Collect, scoop it back up, and put it back into the kaf. To which the Gemara answers, teku. To which the Gemara says, again, and I will say, we'll see what we do with this teku in just a little bit. Boy rapapa. Chishev bechafinas kitores mahu. That's another very interesting case. What happens? Chishav, look at Rashi. Chishav bechafinas kitores amras lak tira lemachar. I will say, let's say the Kohen has an invalidating thought when he is taking the handful of kitores. I will say, what's an invalidating thought? For example, let's say the Kohen has in mind that he's going to offer up this kitores tomorrow. Now, obviously, the kitores has to be offered up in Yom Kippur. But he has in mind that he's going to offer it now. But remember, under normal circumstances, if a Kohen does part of an avoda, with what? With what we call a machshava, an invalidating machshava. Mm-hmm. For example, he has in mind to eat the karban after it's a lot of time. That invalidates the karban. Invalidates the karban. So the shayla is, what happens if the Kohen has such a thought when he is scooping out the kitores? Does that invalidate the kitores or not? Mi aminon, do we say, Yolif milo milo mimincha? we can make a gzir shava from chafina of kitores to kamitza of mincha, and we'll say what ma hasa mahanya be machshava hachanami mahanya be machshava. Rabbi say, when the kohen does kamitza, he has an invalidating thought. He has in mind that he's going to offer up this mincha tomorrow, which of course is not appropriate, which would be possible. It would invalidate the mincha. So too, if he has an invalidating thought that he's going to offer up the ketores tomorrow, it would also invalidate the ketores. Or not. Or do we not make this gzeir shava and say that chafina is maybe different? Maybe chafina is different from kamitza. Amar le Rav Simi bar Ashi Rav Papa. So we'll say again. So here's the fundamental shaila. Really, what the Gemara is ultimately asking is, what is the status of this chafina? Meaning, the reason why, if the coin has an invalidating thought by kamitza, that he invalidates the kamitza is because kamitza is an avoda. So the shaila is, what is the status of this process of chafina? Is chafina an avoda, and therefore it's like kamitza, and if you have in mind to offer it tomorrow, it's going to invalidate the whole process, or is perhaps for some reason chafina reckoned separately? Tashma. Let's analyze this. Hosif Rabbi Akiva added the following. Also, if you look at the Mesuras Hashas on the top right hand corner by Zion, changes Kometz to Soles. So Rabbi Akiva said the following: Soles, the fine flour, Vakitores, the incense, Vahalavona, the Vona was the frankincense that was put on the Shulchan, Vahagicholim, and the coals, Sheim Naga Tevul Yom B'miktsasan, Pasal Eskulam. If a tevul yom went ahead and touched any part of these things, he invalidates the law. Rabbi, remember, a tevul yom is someone who is tameh but went to the mikvah already, but requires hair of shemesh, requires sunset in order to fully affect his process of purity. So the halacha is, says Rabbi Akiva, that if the tevul yom touched the fine flour for the mincha, or he touched the ketores, or he touched the levona, or he touched the coals that are going to be used, yeah, the mice say he invalidates all of them. Look at Rashi. Posel es kulam, shezohi me'achat esrei ma'alos shne'emra b'chom rekodesh, shakli metzari ma'ashevesoch olios ke'elu noga b'kulo. So I will say again, in all of these cases, if let's say again, the tevul yom touched any part of these things, right, so the whole collective becomes tani. And I will say, what is this matter for us? Kasaka daitcha, now, boss, here's what's interesting. Now, if a tevul yom can invalidate something, what that tells us is that the object has kedusha saguf. Remember, we actually spoke about this in Shkolim. There are two different levels of sanctity that an item could possess. An item could possess what's called kedusha damim, which means that its value is consecrated, but the item itself may not be consecrated, or it could possess kedusha saguf. Kedusha Sakov literally means the item itself is sacred and consecrated. So the Gemara is suggesting the fact that a Tevul Yom could communicate Tumah to these things indicates that what? That it's not just simply Kedusha's Damim, but it really must be Kedusha Sakov. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kasaka Dait Chamid Apostle Tevul Yom Alma Kitsha Kli Kedusha Sakov. Therefore, in all of these cases, because they were in a Kli Sharis, therefore, they are endowed with we'll call it, you know, inherent sanctity, Kedusha Sakov. So let me go back to the Gemara now. So the Gemara says like this: the fact that an object can become pasul, that any of these things can become pasul through contact with a tevul yom, indicates that what they have kedusha saguf. Once they have kedusha saguf, pasla nami lina. Rabbi says, what's lina? Lina means leaving an object overnight. Leaving the object overnight. If you leave any of these things overnight, lemaisa, they become pasul. So once we say that you follow the train of thought, once you say that you can become pasul through contact with the tevul yom, that means what? That you possess what? Kedusha saguf. Once you have kedusha saguf, that tells me that what? That you can become pasul through lina. Or once you become pasul through lina, umidalina pasla, pasla nami machshava. Now I will say, once you say that you can become pasul through lina, then that tells me what? That any object that is subject to lina restrictions can also become invalidated through erroneous thoughts. Can also become invalidated through the kohen thinking that he's going to eat it or going to sacrifice it outside of its appropriate time. Therefore, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Papa wants to therefore suggest that lemaisa, when it comes to the ketores, because the ketores, technically speaking, could contract tumah, ultimately through a tvulyo, through contact with the tvulyo, which means then that it has kedushas haguf. Once it has kedushas haguf, it's subject to the restrictions of lina. And once it has the restrictions of lina, it means that what? Because remember, also remember, lina means you can't leave it over to the next day. The next step past that is to say that if you had in mind to leave it over for the next day, that is indeed an invalidating thought and would invalidate the Ketores. Therefore, our Papa suggests that if the Kohen, when he's doing the Chafira, when he's drawing the handful of Ketores, if he has in mind that literally he's going to go and leave it over to the next day, the Ketores is invalid. I'm sorry? Pigle, correct, correct. The Gemara is not calling it Pigle. Just calling it Makshava Zora. Boy, Rav Papa. Rav Papa asked another kasha. I'm a base. Chishev, another very interesting case. Chishev, b'chatias gicholim mahu. I will say, oh, so listen to this. What happens in this case? What happens in this case? Mm-hmm. If, now, I remember, in the previous case of Rav Papa, he literally was having the invalidating thought at the time that he is taking the handful of Ketores. Let's say now he's not doing when he has the handful of Ketores, but rather when is he doing it? When he's taking the coals. So also remember we spoke about in the previous Mishnah that the coin goes to the outer Mizbeach. He moves aside the outer fire and he goes and he takes coals from the center. Let's say when he's taking the coals from the center, he has in mind that he's going to offer the Ketores tomorrow. Okay, so which obviously is illegal, he can't do that. But the machshava is not happening when he's taking the hands of the Lord. Ketores is taking when he's taking the coals. Look at Rashi. Chishe bechatias kecholim. Mahu lahafsil ketores. So same case. So now he's taking the coals. He has in mind to burn the ketores tomorrow. So what's the status of this thought? What's the impact of this thought on the ketores avoda? So mahu, what do we say? On one end, we could say, Machshire mitzvah ki mitzvah damu. Oh, and also here's what's interesting. Now remember, the taking of the coals is not a mitzvah. Taking of the coals is not an avodah. It's not an avodah. What is the taking of the coals? What do you call machshire mitzvah? So remember, we'll say that the mitzvah is what? The burning of the ketores. Only one technical detail, which is, in order to burn the ketores, what do you need? You need fire. So therefore, by definition, you need to get the coals. So the coals are called machshire. So the question is like this. On one end, you could say, Machshire mitzvah, arki mitzvah, that any preparatory acts for a mitzvah essentially have the status of the mitzvah itself. And therefore what? Therefore the same way that when you took the chafin, if you had an invalidating thought about offering the ketores tomorrow, would invalidate the ketores service, so too taking the coals is machshire mitzvah, machshire mitzvah is ki mitzvah, and therefore any invalidating thought about the ketores by the taking of the coals would also invalidate the service, alone, or not. Or not. Look at Rashi, just multiple side. So kmitzvah dami, b'havilei kimechashe ba'avoda. And therefore, again, on one hand, you could say, machshirei mitzvah, preparatory acts of a mitzvah, are like the mitzvah itself. And therefore, any invalidating thoughts would go ahead and invalidate by the taking of the coals as well. Look at the next Rashi. Machshirei mitzvah kimitzvah damu. V'chi hechi demachshavas chafina pasla b'ktores. So just like, again, as we established, An erroneous thought when taking a handful of ketores couldn't validate the ketores service. Machshavas chatia nami pasta begicholim. So to having an erroneous thought to offer the ketores tomorrow would also invalidate even when taking the coals. To which the Gemara answers, teku. We're not sure.
Is that teku on the general rule or on just this case? Machshirei mitzvah kemitzvah. Is that what the teku is on?
Correct. That's the shayla. The shayla is machshirei mitzvah kemitzvah or not? Or not? Now, again, remember, I have to further the concept of machshirin is a general discussion. But here it's machshirin by avoda. That's what the Gemara is asking. Is machshirei sacrificial service, like sacrificial service or not? That's the teku. That's the teku. So the Gemara goes weiter. Boy mine mirav sheshas. That's another interesting case. Holacha b'smol mahu. What happens, Rabbosai, if now again, we're jumping back and forth a little bit. This is now the blood service. So remember again, the halacha is that the kohen takes the blood that he gets from the karban, and he has to take it to the mizbeach and sprinkle it on the mizbeach, pour it on the mizbeach. What happened? Normally we would say, how would he take the blood? He would take it in his right hand. Let's say he took the blood in his left hand. On his left hand, remember, we'll say Kohanim are not lefties, right? Being a lefty is a psul by Kohanim. You can't, yeah, He can't. I'm sorry.
It's a whole devil.
It's a whole
devil.
So it's a whole. Interesting discussion. So now, remember, the halacha is that you have to go ahead and take the blood in your right hand. Let's say he took it in his left hand. Took it in his left hand. So have you invalidated this service or not? Look at Rashi. Okay, so actually, we don't have to read this Rashi. So Mal, what's the halacha? Armaluhu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, Tinisuha, we've learned this already. Natal es hamachta biyamino, v'esakaf bismolo. Habosai, what did it say just in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said that the Kohen goes ahead, remembers by Yom Kippur, and he takes the shovel in his right hand. This is the shovel with the coals in his right, the fire pan. Actually, this is a shovel. The fire pan with the coals in his right hand. And he takes the ladle with the ketores in his left hand. And I will say, the fact that he takes the ketores in his left hand indicates what? That the left hand is kosher for avoda. Left hand is kosher for kitrashi. As kapismolo, amok shira bismol. Amok shira bismol. Therefore, again, you see that what? That even usage of the left is kasher. I will say, you can ask a very easy cash on this, which we'll see. Come on, you can't bring a riot from here, because remember, we already went through this.
Yeah.
Here, it's low F sharp. There's no other way to do this, because remember, I will say, the only other way to do this is how? Is if you would take the ladle with the right hand, go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, come back out, get the machta, and now what do you say? Remember, Hava Achas, there's only one entry. See, this is not the best raya, because here you could easily say, this might actually be the exception to the rule, because, but okay, the Gemara still brings it up. But the Gemara says, I want to tell you something. V'nifshot lehu meha. But I can bring you another proof, meaning why are you coming from this case? Let me bring you another case. This nan, listen to this. This nan, I will say, listen to this. V'nifshot lehu meha debegufo shom izbeach kamarin. I will say, the Gemara is going to bring another sacrificial case. And the reason we'd rather use a sacrificial case is because the Gemara's question comes up with terms of blood. And the Gemara is asking, if the Kohen went ahead and transported the blood, let's say from the animal to the Mizbeach in his left hand, is that kosher or not? So the Gemara first brings a raya from the case of Ketores, that even usage of the left is clearly okay. So the Gemara says, but why do you have to bring a case from Ketores? Let me bring you a case from the Mizbeach, because the case of the Mizbeach would more resemble the Gemara's kasha, because the Gemara's kasha was on a case of bringing blood to the Mizbeach. Let me bring you another case from Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, this not. Haregel shal yamin bismol, who base oral the chutz. Well, because listen to this, the Gemara here is talking about the bringing of the limbs of the tamid to the karbas. Look at Rashi. Haregel shal yamin, the Kohen would carry the right leg in his left hand. Look what Rashi says. Haregel shal yamin bismol, misha zocha lahalos lekevesh. The Kohen who won the lottery and was able to bring the limbs up to the onto the ramp of the Mizbeach, Harosh v'haregel mekabel miyad aminateach, es harosh b'yemino, ves haregel hayimonis shal tamin mekabel b'smolo. He would hold the head of the animal in his right hand, and he would hold the right leg, the right leg of the tamid, the whole Kohen would hold that in his left hand. Ubeis oro l'chutz, Abosavis oro l'chutz means that they would remember, because this is a limb, which means that it was cut off from the animal, which means that on one side you could see the area where the limb was detached, dismembered from the animal. So you keep that part out of public view. Essentially, you keep the part that has the fleshy part on the outside that could be seen by others, but the part of where the limb was detached from the animal, you keep that facing towards the Kohen. So we'll say, we don't care about that much of part. What do we care about? We care about the fact that the Kohen is holding the right hind leg in his left hand, which now you see a case of what? Of the Kohen transporting something to the Mizbeach in his left hand, and yet what? And yet it's totally kosher. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not a good raya. Why? Ime hasam hava amina harimili halachad lo ma'akva kapara. I might have said, no. You know how he could do it in his left hand, Rabbi Sain? Because what is this an example of? This is an example of transport that does not prevent kapara. Meaning, Rabbi Sain, remember, let's say you didn't offer up the limbs at all. What's the status of the carbon tamid? Still good. As long as what? As long as the blood service has occurred. So Gemara says, I might have said like this, don't bring me a riot from here, because the transport of the limbs to the Mizbeach is something that's nice and important and necessary. But if you didn't do it, it's not ma'akiv. It doesn't prevent the atonement from occurring. Aval holocho. But remember, what was the kasha? The kasha was transport of blood to the Mizbeach. But transport of blood to the Mizbeach, which is ma'akiv, aval holocho, Dima'akva kapara lo. But I might have thought that what? That again, transport of the blood to the Mizbeach. That is ma'akiv kapara lo. Maybe you can't do it. Kamash malon, that is not the case. So also what the Gemara is therefore suggesting is that's why you need the Ketores case. Because the Ketores case is a case of what? Is a case of holocha with kapara. And you see that nevertheless, what? You could transport the Ketores with your left hand. If you could transport the Ketores with your left hand, then what? In Bepashos, you should be able to transport the blood to the Mizbeach with your left hand as well. Right, we'll stop over here for today. We'll see. We're not finished with this sugya. As you can see, we're going to have a mesre. The Gemara is going to raise the kasha on this right now. But right now, what the Gemara is holding is, remember, the kasha is, can you go ahead and essentially transport the blood with your left hand? The Gemara wanted to bring two rayas. Raya number one was from Ketores. Raya number two was from the limb of the Tamid. The Gemara is suggesting that the limb of the Tamid might not be the best raya. Why? Because that's a halacha that is not ma'akiv in kapara. So we'll continue with this tomorrow.